It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. Veronica Rickard is off. She'll be back on the show with me next week. Coming up on Central Time, Paul Singer from USA Today joins us for a weekly look at what's happening on Capitol Hill. First, a new survey from the MAC AIDS Fund finds that 1 in 3 teens don't know that HIV is a sexually transmitted infection. That is, some advocates worried that young people today haven't gotten the lessons of previous generations when it comes to HIV/AIDS. Here to talk about teens and what they know or don't know about HIV and AIDS is Bill Keaton. He's the Vice President of Government and Public Relations for the AIDS Resource Center of Wisconsin. Bill, welcome to Central Time.
Hi, Rob. Thank you for having me.
Well, that survey we mentioned, it's not, you know, a peer-reviewed public health survey. Still seems a bit alarming. Does it seem surprising to you or off base to think that 1 in 3 teens don't link HIV/AIDS with sexual transmission?
That doesn't really surprise me. I think it's probably on par with what we believe are kind of the youth and their understanding of HIV and AIDS today. And unfortunately, what it's not indicative of is a real moving of the needle in terms of the general population's understanding of HIV. There's still other studies and reports that have indicated that just general public understanding of how HIV is transmitted and how treatment works today haven't really progressed along with how the disease treatment and prevention activities have progressed.
And this is something where in the past, had we seen a big growth in understanding and a lot more knowledge over time, and now we're kind of stalling?
I think what we saw early on in the AIDS epidemic was a lot of attention and a lot of people who were looking at this as something new, something scary, and something that we didn't necessarily know a lot about. As our understanding of how HIV was transmitted and how we could help patients with HIV effectively manage their disease, today we can tell patients that if they're diagnosed early in their disease, that they can live a very long and relatively normal life, provided they take their medications every day as directed. As those things have changed, I think awareness and some of the fear and anxiety around HIV has changed as well.
Well, that news about treatment is great news, that people are living longer and healthier after contracting HIV. But is there a kind of a paradoxical counter effect? Since it's less immediately and obviously lethal, it's not in the headlines, we're not worried about it, we're not paying attention to the public health warnings.
I think that's exactly right, and it is a little bit paradoxical. The reality is that while HIV can be effectively managed, the regimens are very strict in terms of not being able to miss doses and regularly going to doctor's appointments. The treatment can be complex. It can be exacerbated by other comorbidities that patients may have, and it's very expensive. HIV treatment today, a monthly regimen may cost $1,000 or $1,200. That's per month, and that's for a medication that someone is going to have to take for the rest of their life. And we still aren't necessarily sure of all of the long-term impacts of a long life with HIV. Our organization has been around for about 30 years now, and so we do have patients who've been diagnosed from the early days of the epidemic and are still with us, thankfully. But the long-term effects of HIV are still things that we don't know completely about, just because we haven't had the medical history with it.
Well, the starting data point for our conversation today is about a lack of knowledge among many teens about HIV. Do we know if that's translating into risky behavior?
Well, I don't know that it's necessarily translating into risky behavior. It's kind of a chicken and the egg sort of question. Is lack of information about HIV leading to the behavior, or is lack of information about the behaviors themselves leading to people becoming at risk for HIV? One of the things that we have seen is that we know that high school students are, in fact, and young people are, in fact, having sex. We know that across the state, about 40% of high school students report having sex. And we know that about 25% of them in Milwaukee report having sex with four or more partners. So clearly the behaviors are still going on. Among these individuals who are reporting having sex, approximately 20% of them have engaged in alcohol or drug use beforehand. So it's really hard to pinpoint one or the other. I think it's more important to look kind of at the totality of the situation and identify ways that we can help get information about not only sexual behaviors, but other behaviors as well that put people at risk for either engaging in behaviors or behaviors themselves that might put them at risk for HIV.
Yeah, I wanted to ask you about that. We've been at this as a public health issue for a couple few decades now. Are we learning what works when it comes to public health outreach to teens on HIV?
Well, one of the biggest things that we know that can help teens understand better what their risk behaviors are and how to prevent putting themselves in positions or engaging behaviors is access to healthcare in general. And that's something that we continue to struggle with and that we make good strides with. But having a network of individuals, whether it really comes back to a community or a village having to help raise a child, to put this all on one group to disseminate information is probably not the best lesson that we've learned. We've actually learned that making sure that church leaders, making sure that parents, making sure that other individuals who interact regularly with children have scientifically accurate, validated information about sexual behaviors, about HIV, about STDs, and getting that information pushed out there is the most effective. The challenges that we've seen is that with every new generation, the messages need to be different, and the vehicles for delivering those messages need to be different. What may have worked in terms of HIV prevention messaging in the 80s and 90s, say when I was in school, are completely different today. Kids get their information from different sources, so making sure that as much information is out there and good information is out there as possible is really what we need to be working towards.
Are there model programs either at a statewide level here in Wisconsin or maybe in local communities that you would point to and say that's working and that's something we want to clone and use elsewhere?
One of the things that our organization does is really try to make sure that we are targeting those population groups that are most at risk for HIV and making sure that we're reaching out to them and getting as much information to them as possible, whether it's programs like our Many Men, Many Voices program, which typically is targeting young African-American and black men who have sex with other men, programs like that. We have another program coming online for African-American women here, young African-American women in the near future, and really making sure that we're providing targeted messages to targeted groups so that it's delivered in a way that resonates with the individual. For example, if someone doesn't identify themselves as gay but is engaging in having men or sex with other men, that message may not hit home. But if we can deliver it in a different mechanism and through a different medium, that message will hit home. So being really sensitive to the different sorts of aspects of sexual orientation and identity are critical in this.
Bigger picture, how is Wisconsin doing when it comes to infection rates for HIV and AIDS?
Well, here in Wisconsin, through a lot of good work and a lot of partnership between the state of Wisconsin, Department of Health Services, organizations like ARCW and AIDS Network in Madison and other healthcare providers across the state, I'm really happy to say that Milwaukee, Wisconsin, the state, are considered low prevalence locations related to HIV infections. That means we're doing a pretty good job of managing the epidemic, and it's been because of tireless and constant vigilance. Last year in Wisconsin, we had about 255 new cases of HIV diagnosed. That's still, in my opinion, while it's on par with where their state's been over the last 10 years, it's still way too high. We have about 7,000 people living with HIV in the state of Wisconsin right now. And unfortunately, what we're seeing, and this mirrors national trends, is that for all age and gender groups, the only group with significant increases in infection rates is young males under the age of 30. And that's reflective of the data that we saw in the MAC AIDS Fund report and other reports that have been done here in Wisconsin. Unfortunately, new infection rates amongst that group have increased about 35% over the last 10 years.
We'll leave it there for now. Bill, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you for having me, Rob. Have a great day.
That's Bill Keaton. He's Vice President of Government and Public Relations for the AIDS Resource Center of Wisconsin.